Alistair Knox, Satanic Audio Blog. This week, Aleister Crowley, Reflection on the Pioneer of Magic. Aleister Crowley was a pioneer, a trailblazing searcher who opened the door of magic to reveal the secrets that had not been, until his time, even whispered in the confines of a closet. Aleister opened the doors and swung them wide open for all followers of the occult to rush through in pursuit of their magical attainment. For this reason, he has been called a genius, as well as a trivial madman. But one thing remains true. He has not faded into the facade of history, nor has his persona quickly died. Quite to the contrary, Crowley has continued to be at the forefront of those who are cited as contributing the most to the satanic or the spiritual dark arts. During Crowley's youth, he traveled with his father, who preached across the country, and so Aleister was exposed to the work and skills needed to communicate a message and idea to the masses. In the days before technological advances, the face-to-face communication was not only the most effective, it was one of the few ways to spread the word of any philosophy. Aleister was drawn to belief, not good, not bad. But he had a deep-seated desire to search for more, and this trait was one that served him well throughout his life. Ever a student, he would spread the word of his magical workings throughout his entire life. Young Aleister's father died of cancer, and the experience left the impressionable youth stunned and ultimately bitter. He set his path on an unspoken philosophy of anything that does not conform. His earliest poetry illustrates the idea of anti, while opening the mind to that which was unthought or never before spoken. I do not say that Aleister's heart was filled with hate. That would be untrue, and an easy way to dismiss his lifelong works. Aleister was filled with something much different. He was filled with a burning desire to question everything and a tenet to believe only what could be proven. This is a trait that is embraced by Satanists even today. This served him quite well throughout his life. Crowley was a connoisseur of sex. He loved sexual encounters with both men and women. He often remarked that he only had sex to fulfill the requirements of his magical workings, yet it appears that he also took great pleasure in the many deviations to sexual acts that were anything other than conventional. He would enjoy paying a prostitute to degrade him by inserting various household items into his rectum, and on one occasion was sodomized by two men in a Turkish bathhouse while performing fellatio on yet a third man. He also enjoyed subjecting his partners to pain as well. During a sex magic ritual, he placed his fist into a young man's anus to the point of almost rupturing his intestinal wall, all within the spirit of magic and finding a higher awareness of self. Aleister was also interested and even curious about the fragility of life itself. After hearing a saying that a cat had 9 lives, he reasoned that it would be almost impossible to kill a cat, and he set out to do just that. Crowley caught a cat and administered 9 different terminal treatments to the animal, which culminated with the cat being thrown from a second-story window to remove any remaining life. Quite to the contrary, the animal had been dead since giving it a lethal dose of arsenic, the first of the 9 treatments. For the curious young lab, the event was performed all in the name of science, and the results were simply a byproduct of scientific experimentation. Crowley's The Book of the Law is hailed as his best work, even though there are other great titles to choose from. His writings were factual, confusing, interesting, poetic, and mystifying all at the same time. He had written poetry since a young boy, and that motif operandi was seen as a common thread in all of his future writings. Prolific yet reserved, he preferred to write poetry and insisted at times on being called the world's best poet. I can imagine myself on my deathbed, spent utterly with lust to touch the next world, like a boy asking for his first kiss from a woman. Aleister Crowley. He was an enigma that was perhaps before his time, and I often contemplate what he could have achieved if he would have only lived in our wonderful email, internet, cyber chat world. Without conscience and devoid of humanity, he is what all members of the human race should strive to be. A searcher, he was not encapsulated by hearsay, dogma, or urban legend. He opened his mind and all the senses to receive all that he could discover. Satanists take so many of his attributes to heart and strive to learn that which will reveal itself during a magical endeavor. Crowley's magic was without bounds, and he did not set out to be evil at all. He believed that there are forces and spirits just beyond our worldly grasp, and he wanted to experience those dark images that do not cast shadows on the floor. Evil was a moniker that was assigned to Aleister by a self-righteous society, unable to open their minds enough to discover and benefit from Crowley's work. His acts frightened the population. His words angered the monarchy of the time. He was not a Satanist, per se. Satanism was not his primary focus, and Aleister did not seriously believe in a pointy-tailed viper, as it were. He communicated with demons and spirits, thus being more a student of demonology than of any other magical operations. He has been the inspiration for countless searchers, myself included. He inspired L. Ron Hubbard through his magical workings, which can be glimpsed in Hubbard's Dianetics and in some of the tenets of the Church of Scientology. Anton LaVey cited references and praised Crowley's written works. Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page was an avid follower of Crowley and even purchased the house once owned by Crowley, located on the southeastern shore of Scotland's Loch Ness. Page claimed the house was haunted and also confessed the house held a sacred and creative feel that allowed for total artistic freedom. Crowley continues to inspire and influence music and writers in modern society today as well. Aleister Crowley was one of the first practitioners of the occult to blend magic with the consumption of mind-altering drugs during his rituals. His grimoires read more like a scientist's process book, recorded on numerous occasions when Alistair and those asked to join him would ingest large amounts of narcotics and natural stimulants to achieve a higher state of consciousness and open their minds to events that would enlighten the participants. Experimentation in such arenas was frowned upon, and in most cases the act of performing a blasphemous ritual, as he often performed, was illegal. His connection with the other side of the human brain can only be called cutting edge. However, Crowley's grimoires were often dismissed as drug-induced gibberish. Within the framework of magical operations, Alistair was meticulous in the execution of rituals. He would labor over the details and weigh the effects of each and every slight deviation from the original working to gauge the expected result. He also looked at magic as cumulative or cross-collateralized, which built upon the previous building block, increasing power and heightening the magician's experience. Nothing was taboo, too sinister, or any idea dismissed without fully exploring the possibilities that might reap additional benefits. Alistair was anything but shy, and if the ritual called for him to be treated with violence, disdain, and abusively injured, so mote it be. Worship me with wines and strange drugs, whereas I shall tell my prophet and be drunk thereof. They shall not harm thee at all. Keep man as ignorant and deluded as possible, so he can be easily deceived. Alistair Crowley. Alistair Crowley was a well-known member of the group Ordo Templi Orientis, or the Order of the Temple of the East, which closely resembled the Freemasons and the Masonic Lodge until Alistair joined. He led the association in a different direction, which adopted Thelema as the core principle. The Book of the Law communicated two of Crowley's best-known verses, which are still used quite frequently even today. First, the groundwork for his belief and theology was laid with a simple phrase, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." Love is the law. Love under will. This is cited quite regularly by those practitioners of all magical arts. He was never quick to dismiss anyone's ideas or beliefs without first evaluating and contrasting the belief compared to his very own. Alistair was always fascinated with lines and angles and voids created by an enclosed symbol, especially the unicursal creation. Alistair's unicursal hexagram is a star that can be drawn in one continuous line without stopping the flow. Geometric shapes were often drawn by Crowley to illustrate his projections occurring in astral travels. He believed reason was shielded by logic, and by understanding motivation, one could clearly look deep within the logical progression of magic. Transitional logic and cognitive modeling were paramount to understanding the results of magical rituals, and by disseminating the logic relationships, one could change the variables to estimate the results of a ritual, having slightly changed the inputs and the elements. The idea was revolutionary for its time, and the general population was too critical of Crowley to even seriously consider the possibility that he might very well have a theorem that was truly brilliant. He did not help his cause when the press ran articles about his magical escapades, including homosexual encounters, spells and hexes, animal sacrifice, and a report revealing that Alistair had eaten his own feces, as well as the feces of others in his ritual group. Reports of killing animals during sexual intercourse did not help his cause at all. Alistair was also an avid astrologer, and he studied astrology almost as in-depth as magic. Evangeline Adams was one of the most important influences on the development of American astrology, and Crowley developed a relationship with Adams that was based upon their mutual passion of studying the stars and the planets. The two would collaborate on articles, papers, and books about astrological aspects and the relationship of celestial bodies and planetary orbits. Crowley also used many astrological illustrations and references in his magical writings as well. One such reference was used to explain how a person cannot readily change their path throughout life, and how inertia plays a very important role in continuing the established directional path and momentum. There are no standards of right. Ethics is balderdash. Each star must move on its own orbit. To hell with moral principle. There is no such thing. Aleister Crowley. So, I have pointed out some facts and observations of Aleister Crowley, some good and some not so good. To me, he is truly a pioneer that was perhaps a few generations ahead of his time. I read and study his works from time to time, and I do appreciate his dedication to his craft. His entire life reads like a grimoire of magic experimentation, excess, and theories tried and proven. Because Crowley was a searcher, and searchers like him documented so much, so well, we are able to take advantage of his and others like him, which allow us to be light years ahead of where we would be had he never written even a single article about magic. We should recognize the advantages that we have and the knowledge passed down to us by Crowley. His efforts of being totally uninhibited have allowed seekers to pick up where he left off in the never-ending quest for increased magical knowledge. We are better magicians, seekers, followers, practitioners, and ultimately more powerful because of this man. Yes, he was eccentric, and his approach to the magical arts was unorthodox, and at times stomach-turning as well. However, he blazed the path into history. And for his efforts and sharing of his art form, we are better for having access to his writings and privileged to perform some of the same workings that he not only practiced but actually created. Aleister Crowley will live forever, and his words will be shared for all eternity, which is something he could only dream of in his life. As I write this post, I feel that Aleister is out there somewhere listening and reading my words, and I can only hope that I have supplied an adequate and fitting tribute to his name and his memory. If I have accomplished that task, I will have accomplished my objective and the reason for writing this post. P.S. Evidence points to the very real possibility that Aleister Crowley was the true father of Barbara Bush, the former First Lady and mother to George W. Bush, That is, however, a topic for another day. Visit my website at www.alistairknocht.com.